Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
I think I mentioned last week, I've read this book by a man named Sam Chen. Sam Chen. He was born in Hong Kong, Asian. But it's funny because he's an Asian guy, but he was raised in Australia. So he has this real Australian accent. Obviously, I did an audible book, and he read it himself. So, and was a medical doctor, and then became a Christian and left the practice of medicine, as we're speaking of these things, right? He left his practice of medicine to become a minister, earned ministerial degrees, PhDs, and divinity degrees, and all that kind of thing. And his book is called Evangelism in the Age of Skepticism. And we're in the age of skepticism, right? So basically what he's saying is we have to think about evangelism a little bit differently. The message doesn't change, but understanding our culture is important. He makes really good points about Jesus really representing his culture. I mean, Jesus was a person within a particular culture. He was a Jew in Palestine 2,000 years ago, so he didn't dress, you know, in a 1970s leisure suit, right? I mean, he dressed the way that he dressed. He ate what they ate. He was a part of a culture. You and I are a part of a culture, and we know other countries have cultures also, that we respect the culture, and there are different ways that people respond to the gospel based on their culture. You know, I just wanted to go down quickly this list that he says that are we use these principles to create metaphors to be more effective in sharing our faith with other people without sounding like the religious guys. So anyway, these are what we use to produce metaphors for crafting a gospel presentation. And first of all, before the fall, we see God as creator, right? God created the heavens and the earth, right? The corresponding sin in humanity that has created in us because of the brokenness of the fall is that we tend toward idolatry. And what is idolatry but loving something more than God? God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is the creator. He is the owner. He owns us. He owns everything. He is beyond his creation, outside of his creation. He is throughout his creation. But he is the creation is a special creation. You know, God is apart from his creation. I was talking to somebody on the phone last night, and I don't know, we were goofing around or something, and he mentioned and it kind of how idolatry works. You can love many things. You can love art. You can love relationships. You can love money. You can love so many things become idols. And we got talking about he mentioned first the statue, the thinker, by I think Michelangelo, right, the thinker, right? And he said, you know, one of the things that's always bothered me, what's he thinking? And I said, where are my britches? So if you ever wanted to know, now you know. Very funny. So God is the creator. The sin that we end up with is idolatry. And you have to search your own heart for the idols. Idols come in many forms. They're not little wooden things that we carve and we pray to, but they're things that we pray to without knowing we're praying to them. Things that we want, things that we desire, things that we love. You know, all of those things. You can have everything, man. You can have, I pray for you that God blesses you abundantly. You know, Jesus said the devil comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I think you ought to be the most productive guy around. I think you ought to have the most. Just don't let the stuff have you. You have your stuff. Don't let your stuff have you. Then it becomes an idol. Does that make sense? But the way that we drive out idolatry is through worship. The way we drive out idolatry is through the worship of the true God. The more you worship God and discover who he is, the more you love him, the more you bring him into yourself, your idols fall away. You don't even have to do some kind of, you know, 90-day fast, you know, in the wilderness. Your idols fall away the closer you become with Jesus. So we have God as creator. The fall created the sin of idolatry. The correct response to idolatry, to rid ourselves of idolatry, is worship. We had a worship weekend last week. It did me so much good. Did me so much good. And just to have spend so much time in worship just did me a whole ton of good. So in the beginning, we see in the pre-fall, or the way things truly are, God as king. God as king, as ruler, the ultimate authority, the ultimate ruler, king. The sin that correlates with the fall is rebellion. God is a king. Our the way we respond to it as a result of sin is rebellion. You know, I used to, I don't think it's too old a song now, but I always used to use Frank Sinatra's song, "I Did It My Way." You know, regrets I have a few, but then again, not too few to mention. I did it my way. I'm a rebel. I did it my way. I ain't telling you what to do. I did it my way. You ain't telling me what to do. You or the horse you rode it in on. That's rebellion. Usually starts with being rebellious against your parents. That's where we learn rebellion, the fine art of rebellion. I was good at it. And how do we respond righteously? Through repentance and submission. Why do we submit to God's word? Why, because we're under the law? No. No, because he is the king. We live in his kingdom. Repentance, change our ways, and submission. So in a righteous sense, next category that God is holy. Our sinful response is impurity. Vulgarity, profanity, lies, impurity. Now you see, I used to be in the printing business, and when I was a kid, we had lead type. And my first job at about 10 to 12 years old was carrying buckets of lead type to the smelting pot where we'd melt the lead back down, we'd skim off the dross, and then we'd re-pour the molten lead into bars that could be used again. But it didn't matter. There were always impurities that came to the top. It always had to be skimmed off. You know, so in response to God's holiness, we respond, our sin nature responds through impurity. And that dross has to, the fire of God is what brings that dross to the surface so that God can skim it off. And ultimately, we walk not as weak, but as pure. If you never met somebody who's got power and strength and purity, they're a very rare combination. You usually have power and strength or purity. Purity is something of the heart. Purity is something of the soul. Purity is the thing that holds your tongue from saying that profane or vulgar or ungodly thing. Listen, I've been on a pirate ship or two, metaphorically, and so I'm not talking about every conversation ever had we're normal people. We're dealing with normal things. We're doing dishes, we're fixing cars, cars are breaking down, and, you know, some of us work for lousy employers, some of us have are lousy employers to our employees. we have a lot of stuff that goes on. You can still be pure. Yeah? The Bible shows God as ultimately the judge. You know, if you can read the book of Revelation, there is the white throne judgment where every creature stands before God and is judged for every idle thing ever spoken. Every idle word. God is ultimately the judge. And the way that sin responds to God as judge is to sin, transgression. 1 John 5:3 is, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." You know, everybody says, you're a Christian, you got to do all that stuff. And the truth is, you're not a Christian, and you are so heavy laden with so much garbage and so much baggage and so much weight. We are the free ones. His commandments are not burdensome. Oh, I don't get to be a thief or a liar or a cheat. Oh, that's terrible. I could never do that. Oh, I don't gossip anymore. No, I could never do that. You know, you understand, we've got it backwards. Because if we see Father, or if we see God as judge, where was I? Judge, right? We want to walk in righteousness. I want to do everything I can to. I'm going to tell you something. You know, like him or not, Donald Trump's sons, you know, they're just as, imperfect as the rest of us. But they get access to the White House anytime they want. You know, they get access to the White House anytime they want. There's something to be said about that, right? You're a child of God. You get access to your Father's presence anytime you want. You come to him with your problems, with your issues. You come to him with your things anytime you want. Is impurity really a fair trade-off for that? Transgression, sinfulness, a fair trade-off for that? No, we win. God initially, his nature is as Savior, and our sinful response to that tends to be self-sufficiency and self-righteousness. I don't need anybody, you know. I don't need you. I don't need anybody. I'm self-sufficient. And if he's a Savior and you won't let him save you, what the heck? That's the wrong response. There's no humility in that response. See, humility has to come because you have to say, God, you have to save me. Because I got things pretty good going in my life in a bunch of areas. Things are going pretty well for me. But man, there's just some stuff that I just can't really deal with. I need a Savior. I need a Savior. That makes us, that humbles us, that bows us down. It's the stiff neck that refuses to bow down, that doesn't need a Savior. And the correct response, well, what should we do in place of that? Call on his name. Admit your weaknesses. Admit your desires. Admit what's broken. call on his name. Next thing, I'm really moving at light speed here, believe it or not. I'm really jumping over a lot. God is Father. And what's the sinful response to God as Father is a world of broken relationships. When we reject God as Father, we live in a world of broken relationships. Welcome to America. Right? It's why people, I've always said the divorce epidemic didn't start with people divorcing marriages, husbands and wives. It started by people divorcing themselves from their own local churches. That's where the divorce movement started. It started by people saying, that's Mother's Day. We should maybe do something different than go to church, and take a day off or do something, It's broken relationships. Listen, what we have here in church, folks, it's a relationship. It's a different kind of relationship. It's not marriage. It's a different level of relationship, but it's genuinely a relationship. And when the Father says he uses it in the Ten Commandments, he only has 10 commandments, but one of those days speaks about taking a day apart from the other days and keeping it holy. And the way the church has translated that through 2,000 years is gathering together. When I was a kid, we had ham every Sunday afternoon forever and ever and ever. And it was a late lunch or early supper, but it was always a ham dinner with mashed potatoes and vegetables. And we all were expected to be there. Why? Because I was an Englehart. It was, ham was a big, it was a big deal. I mean, it was a humble family, humble financially, My folks had 7 kids. I don't know why they didn't stop after number 3, but maybe my brothers and sisters are listening. Sorry, guys, I'm just only kidding. I like that you're here. but listen, God is Father, and we're part of a family. And so the more that we can know God as Father, there are people who want to call God everything but Father. But the truth is, the Bible says that we have received the Spirit whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. That's an endearing term, Abba, Father, that we have a relationship with God. Not just supposed to be scared of him, just scared of him. I was scared of Charlie Englehart. I was scared of him a pretty good portion of time. But I earned it, but I loved him. I loved the ground he walked on. He was the manliest man of all men. He was, he could take out your father and everybody's father. Now, I know that I'm saying that not so you can tell me how tough your father was. Please don't do that to me. I'm saying it because that's what boys do. That's the way boys, girls too, I think. They look up to their daddies that way. And we're supposed to look up to God that way. We become a child of God. And that answers the problem of broken relationships. You're more apt to have a healthy marriage. You're more apt to have a healthy relationship with your children. You're more apt to have healthy relationships in the rest of your life. God is revealed as the groom. Jesus is the husband. And the corresponding sin is unfaithfulness. Adultery, unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness to friends, stabbing your friends in the back, talking about them behind their back. God is groom. He is to be loved and respected as a bride would respect and love her groom. And that's really important. And it results in this unfaithfulness that we have toward relationships. It's a terrible thing. It's a painful thing when you find out someone has said something about you or about somebody you love or think something like that. That's very painful, isn't it? Imagine God. I mean, the first that's maybe the first sin. The first sin was Adam eating the fruit and separating himself right from God when God came down to meet him in the garden. It's unfaithfulness. And so a secure faithfulness, simple. Stay faithful to Jesus. Don't be ashamed of saying that word Jesus. Don't be afraid of praying. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed of him. We're his people. We're the sheep of his pasture. Finally, God is shepherd. Right? God is revealed to us through the Bible, metaphorically, many, many times as shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does a shepherd mean? And what is the unrighteous effect that sin has on us in relating with a shepherd is that we wander. We wander. We're curiosity. We're the sheep that's running off out of curiosity, checking out, you know, this or that or the other thing, leaving the flock, leaving the care of the shepherd, and getting ourselves in a heap of trouble. You know, that's why, you know, pastors, it looks such an easy job, and you get to talk in front of people and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, and really what you're doing is you spend your life looking for the folks that, you know, you want to say, come on, stay together. Let's do this together. It's easier together. Honestly, believe me, it's easier together. I don't want to run your life. I don't want your car. I don't want your money. I don't want anything. I want us to stay together. You know, stay together under Jesus' safe, solid teaching. And the correct response, once we're redeemed, is to be followers. You know, because I will tell you one thing. We are on a voyage, and we will hit storms. We are on a collective voyage, and we will hit storms. And we'll hit times of leanness, but we'll also hit times of great rejoicing, great fruit bearing. And ultimately, the great prize awaits us in God's timing, whenever that is. Does that make sense? Is that any good? So God is a creator, creates the sin of sin has created idolatry. The correct response is to worship. God is king. Sin has created rebellion. In place of that, the response is repentance and submission. God is holy. Sin has created impurity in us as opposed to God's holiness. And through Jesus Christ, now we have access to purity. Purify, the Bible says, purify yourselves. God is judge, and the sin has caused us to sin, transgressions. The correct response is to discover righteousness, do things right, change. Santana just popped into my head, Joe Green, you got to change your evil ways. So the answer to self-right, God is Savior, creates self-righteousness. Sin has created self-righteousness. The answer is to call on his name. God is Father. Sin has created broken relationships. The answer is to become a child of God. God is Groom. Sin's response is unfaithfulness. Jesus has given us the opportunity to redeem the characteristic of faithfulness. God is shepherd. Our sinful response to that is a desire to wander. And the way we correct ourselves through Jesus is through following, becoming a follower. It's not an easy task for Americans. We're independent. We have such an amazing focus on being independent as Americans. And there's no place in the Bible where you find that. You know, you find community to the angel of the church of Ephesus, to the angel of the church of Laodicea, to the angel of the church of Sardis, to the angel of the church of Thyatira. He dealt with people as people groups. He didn't say to the angel of Joe, You know, not you, Joe Green, another Joe. You know, he spoke to people as people groups. Why? Because we live in a culture and we tend to have the same sins. We tend to carry the same sin packages. You may go to another part of the world and they don't do things very much at all like us, but they have another sin tendency in another part of the world. Does that make sense to you? All right, stand up. If you purchase a copy of the book, I really recommend it. Sam Chan, his name is, and it's Evangelism in an Age of Skepticism. And I don't know, maybe something that was said, because we know a human being speaks words, it comes from God's book, with a hope that people's hearts would be connected to it and they might see something, maybe something in themselves that is not, maybe you're celebrating that, wow, I got an A+ today. I want that for you, that you got an A+, that, you know, you didn't, you're perfect in all of these things. I really want that for you. But if you didn't, and, you know, there was some place that was, you know, that touched something in you, that if you had a stone, you'd throw it at me. It's a joke. You know, it's important that you hear that, and then that you respond to it. You don't just hear it and say, wow, that was a good sermon, or wow, you really got me that time, Pastor. You know, no, we're planting seeds. We're gardening. I want to see you grow up as oak trees. I want to see you grow up as fruit-bearing trees. I want to see you grow up into your calling in God. You know, one of our deals is we're in the mountains here. People come and go. This is a transient community. So we've always sort of ebbed and flowed and done, you know, things like that and seen families come and go. But while you're here, you're going to get the word of God. And I encourage you to take it into yourself and allow it to have the changing power that it has. You don't grow wings overnight, start glowing in the dark and levitating, you know, or some kind of a weird spiritual thing. Man, it takes your lifetime to stretch yourself toward Jesus. Yes? Follow Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, bless our church community. Lord God, I pray that we would have a season of growth. We would have a season, Father God, where you fill this church 2, 3, 4, 5 times a Sunday, Father. We got the gas in the tank. Lord Jesus, we're revved up and ready to roll. So that you would come and you would care for our neighbors and our friends, and you would save folks and bring people close to you. People would not be afraid to ask hard questions. People would not be afraid to disagree and talk and communicate so that we can walk as one. So Lord God, we love you and we praise you. Jesus' name. Go in peace. Have a wonderful day.
Hey guys, this is Jake Johnson coming to you from our On Fire radio studio. We pray this message has encouraged you. And maybe you're listening today and would say, Jake, I want to join this cause. How do I start? Well, I'll tell you, because of our sins, there's no way that we can make it to heaven on our own. But God did send Jesus, his son, to die for our sins. And Jesus said that if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. So pray with me today and begin a new life with God. Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I believe you lived a perfect life and died on a cross as a sacrifice for my sins. I repent for my sins today and I place my life in your hands. I give you all that I have and I ask that you would cleanse me with your blood and fill me now with the power of the Holy Spirit. I walk forward today into a new life with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, listen, if you prayed that prayer with me, I'd encourage you to get a Bible. Download a free app on your phone. It's called YouVersion, the Bible app. You can start a Bible plan and start reading the Word of God. Start a prayer life and start spending time with God. And find a Bible-believing church. I want to take this time to personally invite you to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We're at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. We have church every Sunday at 10 a.m., and we would love for you to join us. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson, signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.